Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm Rick Hughes, the host of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and please stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. This could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we always do it without any motive, without any manipulation. That's the word I'm trying to say. No manipulation. That simply means we don't have any hidden agendas, no gimmicks, no games, nothing to sell you, nothing for you to join. This show is simply about the truth of the Word of God. This is the only show where the message is important, not the man. I'm simply the guy bringing you the message, but it's the message that can change your life. If you listen, if you pay attention, you may or may not listen, I don't know, but I would like to invite you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. We won't have any commercials, and it's not a dialogue, it is a monologue, it's me talking, but if you will listen, you may come to understand some phenomenal things if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. This show is a Christian talk show, and I'm talking to people that are believers in Jesus Christ, and occasionally, people that are not believers in Jesus Christ tune in. Occasionally, I do talk with people like that. I even occasionally will talk with somebody who calls himself an atheist, but that's ridiculous because how can you be an atheist? You got to be God yourself to be an atheist. To be an atheist, to be defensible, you've got to, by faith, accept there's no God because you cannot prove it. I mean, what are you going to do? Go to every planet and asteroid and star in the universe and make sure God's not there? No, you believe God is not there, so by faith you don't believe God exists. And that's the same thing that a Christian operates on, faith. He believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just like you don't believe God exists. And you say, well, I'm just as defensible as he is. Sure you are. If you operate on rationalism, sure you are. If you operate on empiricism, sure you are. But the Christian operates on pisticism, and unfortunately, that's what you're doing too. You are pisticism, faith, believing that God does not exist. So I run into people like that occasionally. And sometimes I run into agnostics, A meaning no, and gnostic meaning knowledge. That means no knowledge, people that are no knowledges. And if they're honest and if they're true, then if you give them some knowledge or some information, then will they or will they not believe it? Well, I don't know. But all I can tell you is that if you will listen to this show, you're going to hear some accurate biblical information. You're not going to hear any gimmicks or games. You're not going to hear anybody try to sell you some book they've written for $19.95. You're not going to hear anybody beg you for $5 for a copy of this show. What you're going to hear is the Word of God, the truth found in the Word of God, packaged in a way that maybe you're not used to hearing preachers talk. I never forget the guy that wrote me a letter and said, I can't believe I'm right, a radio preacher. And I thought to myself, I can't believe I am one. 2 weeks ago, I couldn't even spell it. Now I am one of those. But here I am. I never intended to do this show. But it's just the way God's sense of humor works out. And this has been well over a year that we've been on this radio station. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you pray for me as I study and bring these messages to you. And as I trust the Lord to continue to let me do this show. Now, we started talking last week about maturity. We talked about spirituality for several weeks, and we've talked about what is the difference between being a spiritual Christian and being a mature Christian. And we have spent the last two Sunday mornings talking about what it means to be a mature believer. And we've talked about what maturity is and what maturity is not. Really, what maturity is not. We're just getting into what maturity is, but let me just say this. And if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, it's possible that you may not be a mature believer. See, we all come on board as babies, as infants in Christ. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, it was the year 1967. And in 1967, after I got saved, I was given a Bible, and I started reading it and learning it and started going to Bible studies and eventually found myself at Southeastern Bible College here in the Birmingham area. Now, whether they want to claim me or not, I don't know. But it was a great school, and I learned a lot of wonderful things. But as I began to grow and as I began to learn things, and I began to see what my options were, what my choices were, and I began to see how certain people tried to manipulate me and drag me into things that I didn't belong in, I didn't need to be in. I had to find my own way in life, much like you. I didn't want to be herd bound. I didn't want to be manipulated. I wanted to have my autonomy and my independence, and yet I wanted to operate effectively. See, unfortunately, I had the privilege to play football for Bear Bryant many years ago for a brief stint of time, and I learned some things about great men. They often have a system, and if you will learn their system and operate under their system, they'll make winners out of you. Bear Bryant had an incredible system like that, and my pastor had that same sort of deal. He was a great leader, a great system that he developed, and he pastored his church for 53 years in one location. And much of what I teach you, I've learned from my pastor. Certainly, I've added some things to it over the years, but you have to learn the system. And when you learn the system, God's plan, then you can be the winner believer. You can be the man or the woman that God intended for you to be. But you will never be that person until you learn something. That's why Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke is the template that we put on so that we had Christ as our example, 1 Peter said. The hupogrammos in the Greek, some people call that a tracing, but it's a template. And when we strap on this yoke, this template, it cuts us into his image. And the first thing we have to do is learn what he thought like. We have to learn to think like he thought. And that's why Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." And that's what I'm doing with you. I'm teaching you what he thought. His words are recorded in the Bible. The Old New Testament is called the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians 2:16. And as we assimilate the mind of Christ, his mentality, his intentionality, and we begin to see what motivated him, what perpetuated his spiritual life, and as we apply it into our life, we become Christ-like individuals. And we become attractive to other individuals, and we become a threat to some individuals, as our Lord was a threat to the religious crowd. The religious crowd had a problem with him because he didn't fit into their mold. He didn't go by their agenda. And oftentimes the religious crowd has a problem with me also. My agenda is not their agenda. My mold is not their mold. And so as I teach you the Word of God, you may hear things that seem to mock certain religions. And I don't do that on purpose. But I'm simply doing this to illustrate the points that we come to. For example, last week we talked about what maturity is not as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you ever intend to be a spiritually mature believer, it's not being a super moral person. That's not what it is. It's not that you don't ever do anything bad and you only go to G-rated movies, as I've said before, you know, and you sing in the choir every Sunday. That's great. I'm glad you sing in the choir. But that doesn't mean that you're a spiritually mature person. It doesn't mean you're a spiritually mature person because you don't smoke or drink. And it doesn't mean you're a spiritually mature person because you have a hyper-spiritual vocabulary and only talk in the archaic King James terms like, "Howest are thouest, brother, todayest." Give me a break. If you say that to me, I'm going to leave quick because I think you're maybe something wrong with you, you know. So just because you dress holy or talk holy, that doesn't mean you're a mature believer. Because you're into asceticism and extreme self-denial, you don't have but one old car and one change of clothes and you gave all your money to the poor, that doesn't make you a mature believer. And Lordy, the one that gets me the most is Mr. Pumped Up for Jesus. Mr. Pump Pump Up for Jesus. He's Mr. Excitement. And this guy operates on emotions, and I have met many people like this. You can't live up to their standards. You can't live up to their expectations. You wonder, how does anybody stay this high all the time on Jesus? You know, and they're like, "Oh, you just got to get high on Jesus." I'm going to tell you, these people are nuts. They don't have a clue what they're doing. They're living under their emotions. They're driving their emotions into the ground, and they're driving other people away from the Lord by acting like they're always some kind of super spiritual people. And what if there's anything that needs to happen today, we need to learn the protocol plan of God and operate under the protocol plan of God. That doesn't mean that I can't be excited about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that I can't talk holy and act holy. It means these are not the basis for my spirituality or my maturity. The basis is the Word of God in my soul that I learned and I have the content in my soul, and I apply it into my life consistently. I learn those 10 problem-solving devices that this show is formatted around. I learn the rebound procedure. I learn what it is to be filled with the Spirit. I learn how to operate under the faith rest drill. I learn what it means to have doctrinal orientation and grace orientation. I understand my personal sense of destiny. I know what it means to have personal love for God that overflows into impersonal love with other people. I understand what it means to have the great happiness of God in my life and to be occupied with Jesus Christ. Those are the 10 problem-solving devices. That's what this show is formatted around, and we probably need to get back and reteach those. But if you haven't ever heard that before, if you've never learned that, I'd be glad to send you a book. I've got them all in one book called Christian Problem Solving. If you'll simply write to me, we'll send it free of charge. Never a charge for anything on this show. Don't even dare send money. I believe if God's in it, He'll pay for it. I'm not asking you for a nickel. But they're there if you want it. Now, if you want to be a mature believer, you're going to have some consistent momentum in your life. That means you're going to have to sit under a qualified pastor, a man who teaches the Word of God in depth, who doesn't just talk about little social agendas, who gives you much more than 15 minutes on Sunday morning, a man who teaches you the Word of God in depth consistently, so that on a daily basis, you can learn and apply the Word of God into your life. This is how you renovate your thinking. This is how you renovate your mind. And this is how you become spiritually independent. You know what a mature believer is? He's spiritually independent. This means that he doesn't run to the preacher for help every time he stubs his toe. Every time he messes up, he doesn't call the preacher and say, "Preacher, what should I do next?" How can you glorify God if you have to make decisions based on what the preacher tells you? If you don't have enough of the Word of God in your soul to know your own self, what you should do about something, that you got to run to the preacher and ask the preacher. You see, like if you had a flat tire, could you change it? Could you get out and actually take off the lugs and jack it up and change it? Or do you have to call somebody to come do it for you because you don't know how to do it? See, a spiritually mature believer can change the flat tire in his soul when it happens. He knows how to handle things. It's nothing wrong with asking the pastor a question. That's not what I'm saying. But the person who can only live based on what the preacher tells him is not a spiritually mature believer because he doesn't have any spiritual independence. He doesn't have spiritual autonomy. See, if you're going to be a mature believer, you're going to develop self-confidence from God's Word. You will develop self-confidence from God's Word. You're not going to be second-guessing yourself. You're not going to get confused by legalism and get sucked into that sort of stuff that your friends will drag you into. Man, you cannot believe how believers prey on other believers and try to drag them into all sorts of stuff. Everything from multi-marketing to whatever, they try to drag you into it. And all, especially into weird Christian. You want to go with me to a Christian retreat this weekend, brother? You really need to go. You need to go on this walk. You need to go on this retreat. And most of it, to tell you the truth, is a waste of time. Do they talk about God? Sure they do. Do they pray a lot? Sure they do. Will it further your spiritual life? Maybe, maybe not. But it may lead you into something that you don't belong into, that's for dang sure. Where you belong is under a qualified pastor who can teach you God's Word, and a man that will stand in the pulpit and teach it, who is not worried about what his deacons say, a man that will spend 4, 5, 6 hours a day on one word, coming to understand what it means so he can give you this fantastic meal of truth. That's what I'm talking about. This kind of man will give you self-confidence so you don't second-guess yourself. Did I do the right thing? Am I making the right decision? You know what the will of God is. You know what your personal sense of destiny is. You have that independence and that autonomy in your life as a mature believer, and you can meet and face adversity with maximum confidence. Because you know the Lord hadn't abandoned you. The Lord hadn't forsaken you. You're operating on the faith rest drill. You're taking the promises of God and standing on them securely and confidently. And you have great joy in your soul, in spite of the adversity. Don't ever forget what the Bible says about our Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12, where it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Joy. Was it fun to be on the cross? Not at all. What does that mean? It means this. There is no greater joy that you could ever have in your life than to be exactly in the center of the will of God. When you know that you are doing exactly what God made you for, what God intended for you, when you know you're on the plan of God for your life, boy, you talk about taking the monkey off your back, and you talk about having great calm and peace and knowing that I am doing what God intended for me to do. You don't have to second-guess yourself. You can have that sort of confidence, even in adversity. A spiritually mature believer is independent of advice from other Christians. He doesn't run ask other Christians, what do you think I ought to do about this? He doesn't run to other Christians for counseling. I am not advocating any believer go to a Christian counselor. And you're going to think, well, this guy's nuts. This guy's weird. Let me tell you where you need to get your counseling. You get it sitting under the authority of a qualified pastor till you become spiritually independent so that you can diagnose your own problems. And if you've got a real mental problem, you may need to see a doctor. But most of the time, somebody thinks that some Christian counselor can give you an answer to your problem. Let me tell you something. First of all, they're charging you money. Come see me, $100 an hour, and we'll pray a little bit together, and I'll give you a scripture and a book to read. Forget it. That's not the spiritual life, and that's not how you grow spiritually. You get under a qualified pastor, and you listen day after day after day, and you grind it out, and you learn, and you apply the Word of God into your life. You won't need to go to a counselor, because you will have independence and confidence, and you will be able to stand firm on your own two feet, even in the face of adversity, without standing around crying about all the spilt milk in your life. And we all spill it every day. You won't need to go to some accountability group. That's the biggest, I don't know what to call it. But if anybody ever tells you that you need to tell them your sin and they'll tell you their sin, tell them to take a hike. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you tell God your sin, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you. You are never authorized to tell other people your sin. You are accountable to God by means of the Holy Spirit, and not some other Christian who's going to hold you accountable. And yet that's the predominant thinking in our world today. Go to a Christian for counseling. Go to an accountability group. Go to someone for advice. Buy this book. Buy that book. Listen to this, that, the other. When are you going to sit down and get a Bible and get a notebook and listen to somebody teach you the Word of God? You don't need human encouragement. You need some teaching of the Word of God. You see, a mature believer will have maximum use of those 10 problem-solving devices. He's going to avoid all the subjectivity that so many people get trapped in. He will have objective reality in his life. He's not going to get subjective. He's not going to think those people over there are talking about me. He's not going to think God's getting me for something I did back in 1932, as some people think. You know, people think that God is like waiting in the closet to beat them over the head with a hammer. The first time something good goes in their life, and the first time they get ahead in their life, and then all of a sudden God jumps out and squashes it. And then you think, I knew He would get me one day for what I did. Boy, don't you know God doesn't operate like that? Don't you understand God loves you? God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior of the world, to die for you. Don't you know that even though you turned your back on God, He has never turned His back on you? He continues to love you. You see, people don't understand these things, and they get subjective. If you become a mature believer, you will have objective reality, and you will have maximum contentment in your life. And your happiness will not be based on the details of life. Your happiness will not be based on things. Listen to what Romans 15:13 says. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace by means of believing, so that you may abound in confidence by means of the Holy Spirit. The God of hope, that's your God. And your happiness and your peace and your joy does not come from circumstances or things. So, you want to be a mature believer? You want to glorify God to the maximum? And how do you do it? Number one, you stay filled with the Holy Spirit. That's problem-solving device number one. When you sin, you confess your sin to God. Don't sit around, feel sorry about you messed up. Get up and keep moving. Rebound and resume your spiritual life. Keep moving forward. Number two, take in the Word of God every day under a qualified pastor. The Bible says in Acts 2:46 that these young believers continued daily in their study of the Word of God. The third thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to pass some momentum testing. You see, as you begin to develop momentum, much like a car that's rolling down the hill or the shuttle that blasts off at Cape Canaveral, it starts off very slow and then it starts picking up speed and developing momentum as the thrusters kick in, and then before you know it, it's broke through the atmosphere and into the stratosphere and then it's out into space. Well, see, you're going to be tested. Every fabric and fiber of your life will be tested as you begin to develop momentum. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the conscience of every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Father is going to test you. Satan's going to tempt you. And you're going to be molded into the man or the woman that God intended for you to be. But not without you passing that momentum test. Will you be distracted? Will you be defeated? Will you get discouraged and lay down and quit? Or will you keep standing by means of the armor of God? Will you strap on the armor of God and stand against the strategy of Satan in your life every day? Will you ignore the temptation to abort the mission? In Luke 9:52, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you going to abort the mission? You got saved. You believed in Jesus Christ. You got some momentum. And then all of a sudden some test hit and you lost your momentum. You crashed and you burned and you aborted the mission and you never got back up, did you? And you're listening to me today and you've never gotten back in the plan. Are you still saved? Sure you are. Are you going to heaven? Sure you are. Are you glorifying God? No. You're on the ground. You crashed, and you're still laying there, and you're blaming it on that guy that disillusioned you, that preacher, that whatever he did, you're blaming it on him, or you're blaming it on your spouse. What's wrong with you? Get back in the game. If you ever want to glorify God, you must get your momentum going. You must start studying and growing. It's the only way you're ever going to reach spiritual maturity. Ignore the temptation to abort. Take it one day at a time. Hey, you're going to fail. You're going to mess up, but you can recover. You can resume. Don't focus on your failures. All of us have flaws. Just rebound. Confess your sin to God and keep moving one day at a time. You see, a true mature believer won't lose sight of his objective reality. He will be aware of God's word and God's plan, and he will learn it every day. And eventually he will reach a peak of reality in his life where God becomes just as real as his very family, even more so. That's the kind of relationship God wants to have with you, where he is more real to you than even your children, than even your spouse. He's that real. So that wherever you are, in the car or at home or on vacation or wherever you may be, you are intensely aware that God the Father is with you. Jesus Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit empowers you. That's what it means to be a mature believer. It means that you're oriented to grace. You love grace. You even grace people out that don't deserve it. You are the recipient of phenomenal grace that you don't deserve. And you think in terms of grace and making decisions based on grace. You, of all people, avoid subjective reality. You never get into legalism. You never get into emotionalism. You never get into fanaticism. This is not glorifying God when you do this. and you don't have this martyr complex. You see, the mature believer, he has maximum contentment and maximum capacity for happiness in his life. He glorifies God to the maximum. He's content with whatever circumstances God gives him, and he is happy wherever he is. His happiness doesn't depend on things. His happiness depends on a person, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. Now, apart from the Word of God, there are other things that God will give you to help you be a mature believer. He will graciously provide adversity for you. In all of your experiences, he'll give you some suffering for blessing, not for discipline, suffering for blessing. See, some people say if you're Christian, God doesn't want you to suffer. Oh, that's ridiculous. It's not what the Bible says. This is how you grow. You're tested this way. And suffering for blessing, the Bible's full of it, so that you grow in grace and you grow stronger. And all of your happiness is related to these things. And you'll be tested, and these things will develop in your life, and you'll be complete in your adversity as well as in your prosperity. You'll be the man or the woman that God intended for you to be. You'll be the spiritually mature believer, and you will live your life as unto the Lord rather than as unto man. Colossians 3:25 says, "Whatever you do it from your soul as to the Lord, and do not do it as to man." See, the spiritually mature believer, will he sin? Sure, he'll sin. But he'll take responsibility for his decisions. He will confess his sin to God. He'll never seek to control other people because he doesn't have that power lust in his life. He will avoid any sort of self-righteous arrogance, like he's Mr. Goody Two-Shoes and everybody else is lousy. He will have a strong personal sense of destiny. That's problem-solving device number 5. What does that mean? Listen, personal sense of destiny is like a door. When you go in that door, this is the first time in your life you will leave your agenda behind, and you will live on God's agenda. For the first time in your life, as a spiritually mature believer, you will know what God's plan for your life is, and you will have maximum production as a believer in Jesus Christ. That means your Christian service. That means your giving, your prayers, your witnessing. Your growth will all be maximum as a mature believer. That's what we're talking about. So if there are mature believers out there, and there are, can there be an immature believer? Oh, yeah. Very much so. Very much so. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 3:15, "Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind." You know, a mature believer, the wonderful thing about him, other than glorifying God with everything that he thinks and says and does, is he has a maximum impact on his nation. He's an invisible hero, and he has a maximum impact on his nation. It's an invisible impact. You know, in Genesis 45:7, listen to what Joseph said, the son that was sold into slavery. "God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." That's what Joseph said. No one man can make America what it needs to be, and no one man can cause it to survive the internal forces that threaten our very existence. But you can. You, as a mature believer, as a band of brothers standing shoulder to shoulder and shield to shield, lifting up and glorifying Jesus Christ by our thoughts and our actions and our deeds, we preserve a nation. And that's why the Bible warns us about looking for a man to deliver us. The one that will deliver us is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.